I'm going to be preaching a shorter than usual sermon today. And no. Don't yay that. It'll only be about 50 minutes unless... No, just kidding. The title of the sermon today is Serving Wholeheartedly. This is really for the whole church, but especially for the new elders and those who are serving. Many of us really are overwhelmed by the busyness of life. There's just so many things that pull at us. And so much of it causes us some level of anxiety, some level of irritability in a way that relate to other people. And sometimes we get burned out and even wonder if God really cares for us. So it becomes difficult in light of all that, in light of all that pressure, to serve wholeheartedly. But that's the question that I want to explore today by looking at a story of Mary and Martha. A familiar story to many of us, but let's kind of dig in to see what we can hear from the Spirit of God. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. But few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." So this story of Mary and Martha has something to say to us who are living in the hustle and bustles of life. It's really an ordinary story, one of the most ordinary stories in the Bible. But there is something profound that we can learn about how to deal with anxiety, irritability, and burnout that comes from all the things that pull at us, all the things that we got to do. So let's look at Martha first. You can see from the passage that she's clearly extremely busy. This passage says that she's distracted by all the tasks. You know, she's cooking up a storm. So we have a guest of honor, Jesus, invited to their house. And now, you know, she probably has to clean up, cook all the stuff. And, you know, she's spinning a lot of plates. And, she's the kind of person that really rolls up the sleeves and get things done to do good things, to serve the Lord. She wants to do good, and she's doing good. She wants to serve Jesus, because if you think about it, without Martha actually cooking, preparing dinner, everybody's going to starve that night, right? So what she's doing is super important. But she's also running around, getting stressed out, and getting very impatient, and snaps at Jesus. And she's mad at Mary and snaps at Jesus. You know, in every church, we have a lot of Marthas. And without them, we couldn't get anything done. So thank you, Jesus, for all the Marthas in our church. There are leaders, ministry leaders, volunteers, pastors, elders. They're extremely busy. They often have families and, you know, they have kids and they have jobs. And they do all of these things. They're super busy. And they're doing it for Jesus. They're loving their children for Jesus. And they're loving the church for Jesus. They're loving their neighbors for Jesus. But some of us are burning out and feeling like we have absolutely no margin in our lives. Let's look at this story a little deeper and see what's going on. And then see what how Jesus responds to Martha. We could see that she's anxious, right? She's the way she interacts with herself is anxiety. And Jesus actually points that out. Jesus said, you are worried and distracted by many things. The word for worry in the original language, Greek, that is written, could also be translated and is also translated as anxious or anxiety in other Bible passages. One commentator says that that word means to be torn into pieces by many, into many directions. So Martha is an initiator. She may be a leader. She's in control, you know, and one and someone who's willing to do all the work, but she experienced anxiety while doing this. She thought she was in control over everything, but inside she felt anxious. You know, many of us experience that, just like her. You know, we want to do things, and so we see the need, that we see, and we have the desire, so we do this, we do that, we do this, we do that. But somewhere along the line, we're not happy at the level that is being done because we're being stretched. You know, there's a bit of a perfectionist tendency in us that sort of condemns us, and we feel anxious. We're not quite doing it the way I wanted to do it. It's not that we're selfish or even ambitious about ourselves. It's just that we want to do the right thing, but we don't feel like we're doing enough. And so we get anxious. And secondly, we also see that she's irritable in the ways that she reacts to others. So the way she reacts to herself, she's anxious. To others, she's a little annoyed at people around her. She's, you know, she comes up to Jesus and said, tell Mary to help me, right? So that you clearly see annoyance. And, you know, she's mad. And she's impatient. And when we are the go-getter, when we are the ones who are running around doing stuff, we get ticked off at people who don't. People who just sit around. People who are incompetent. We get impatient. You go, come on, let's get to it, you know? Some of us are like that. We get irritable on the outside in the way we interact with people. And then thirdly, the way Martha interacts with God, I mean, she questions God at this point. She's suspicious of Jesus. She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Do you care? So we get to a stage where we are not only kind of anxious about ourselves and kind of ticked at other people around us, but we begin to say, God, do you care? Do you care that I go through all of these things? Have you felt like Martha? Yeah? Mm-hmm. I think many of us have felt like Martha, anxious on the inside, irritable on the outside, and mad or questioning God. How did Jesus respond to Martha? He says, Martha, Martha. You know, in English, to us, it sounds like a little bit negative. You know, Johnny, I can't believe you did that kind of, you know, tone. But in Semitic language, in Aramaic that Jesus was speaking, when you repeat a name twice, it's an expression of love and compassion. You know, the Bible often uses doubling of names while people are crying for them. So like when David, when his son Absalom died, David says, Absalom, oh Absalom, my son, my son. It's an expression of love. Or when Jesus, you know, coming into Jerusalem for the Passover at the end of the journey, he sees the city from the Mount of Olives, and he cries and says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." So you see the doubling of the names as he wept. And then when Jesus is on the cross, the most famous one we know, he cries out to God in tears and says, "My God, my God." And so when he says to Martha, "Martha, Martha," he's just saying, "I love you, Martha." It's an expression of love. And he's counseling her out of this tremendous love and gentleness and compassion. So he expresses that love to her. And then he says, really, only one thing is needed. You're distracted by so many things, but you know what? Only one thing is needed. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But Jesus is saying, "Martha, Martha, I love you. You don't have to get all these things right. You just have to worry about one thing. Only one thing is needed. Everything should come from that. Not like, you don't have to feel like you have it all right. You don't have to feel like you're the best mother. You don't have to feel like you're the best leader. You don't have to feel like you're the best employee or you're the best student or, you know, whatever. You don't have to feel like you have to have all that. Only one thing is needed." So let's look at Mary. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened. You know, the sitting at someone's feet, it's an idiom for saying she was a student of that person. So rabbi, you know, students of rabbi, the disciples of rabbi would sit at the feet of rabbi. And so it could mean literally you're sitting at the feet of rabbi, but it also means you're listening, you're submitting yourself to the authority, and you're learning from the rabbi. And, you know, you have to understand, this is a patriarchal culture. Women were not allowed to sit at the feet of the rabbi. But here's Jesus, countercultural as he is, breaking the mold and inviting a woman to sit at his feet and become his disciple, essentially. And she's sitting at Jesus' feet. And listening. Now, how do we do this? How do we sit at Jesus's feet and listen? Because you remember, Jesus is saying that one thing that is important is to do this, right? You don't have to get everything right, but only one thing is needed, which is that to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. So how do you and I do this in regular life? I think first, if you look at the big picture of this passage, here is someone who's focused on doing, 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 and here is some, you know, that's Martha, and here is someone who's focused on just listening, putting her faith in Jesus. In a way, it's a picture of the gospel, right? It is not by doing, but by being, by listening. It is by faith. It's not by works, but by faith that we are saved. And so in a way, it is a picture of the gospel, and Jesus is calling us to not the life of doing, but life of being. And then we'll see that actually life of being leads to doing, but just being with Jesus and just learning from Jesus and just receiving from Jesus and learning to live by faith, understanding the gospel of grace, embracing yourself in his grace, not by your performance, but by grace. God receives you, loves you, no matter what. God loves you. It is by grace you are saved. It is by grace, not only are you saved, but it is by grace that we have a relationship with God. We don't do it because we got it all together by performance. It is by grace. It is by grace. That's the first thing we got to understand. You don't earn a relationship with God. You just have to be there. You just have to kneel down. You just have to listen. You just have to receive. Not only for salvation, but for Christian living. And then secondly, there's this, I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer, prayer of listening. You know, spiritual practices of solitude and silence. And we I think all of us actually need a rhythm of spiritual practice of silence and listening. This is where we get life, you know? This is where we feel God's love for us. This is where we get our tanks filled. See, when you're running around busy, and the more you run around, the more you're actually exerting energy and using up your energy. You need to get your tanks filled. And the way you do so is to pursue one thing that is most important, which is just to sit at the feet of Jesus and receive his love and be with him and be loved by him and experience his love for you. You know, if you get a lot of different thoughts jumping around in your head, let it calm and let the love of God just begin to percolate in your heart. You know, I think there are some spiritual practices that help us to do that. These are not spiritual practices, are things that help us sit with God, you know, so that God can energize us. And so one example is Lectio Divina. You know, a lot of us know Lectio Divina as a communal practice. You know, you listen to something three times and just, you know, what resonates with you. Most of us have done Lectio Divina in a communal way. But really, Lectio Divina originally was a personal spiritual practice. It's a contemplative reading of the scripture. And I invite you to do that. Just, you know, pick a book of the Bible and don't try to read but a lot of it. Just read a small portion. Pick a psalm or something. Just read a small portion and let it just marinate in your heart. Read it over and over again and let the Holy Spirit speak to you through that passage. So maybe just one verse. And if you're a visual person like me, imagine that verse just written. And just look at it from various different angles. Look at the words. Look at various different parts of the passage and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Initially, you'll just be distracted. But as you just sit with that word, contemplate on it, the Spirit of God will speak to you, will give you strength, will give you sustenance for your journey. You know, I kind of think of it like this. I heard this example in a book, read this example in a book. It's, imagine yourself in a big castle, but you enter into a room that's completely locked, pitch dark, but you know that there's another door on the other side, somewhere in the room, to lead you to the next room. So you enter into the room completely dark. You kind of feel yourself around you. You knock on the walls, and then as you keep doing that, you somehow, you know, feel something a little bit different than other parts, and you know there's a door that you can open. So kind of contemplative prayer is sort of like that. You kind of you look at the scripture, and you're just meditating on it. You're looking at it. You're knocking on it. You're kind of, you know, looking at it from different angle. And as you do so, the Spirit of God shows you a door. Then you walk in, and you're guided, and you're filled up, kind of like, I don't know, like I kind of picture in a video game, you know how you get the Energizer, whoop, and then you go, you know, you get that energy, you know, when you, that's a bad example. Just came to my head. I'm trying to preach from my notes now instead of my manuscript. So things pop into my head, and you get the benefit of that. But, you know, I love what Mom Seeking Jesus is doing. You know, there's a group started up by Adrian and my wife, Grace. And And they're just moms in New City, and they're feeling so stretched and busy, and they're saying, you know what, it'd be great if we can just get together and just sit at the feet of Jesus. And so they're doing some spiritual exercises of just listening and being. And they're meeting on Zoom, I think, at 8:30 on Sunday nights. And so you're free to join if you're a mom. And I love that. That's how we do it. That's how we keep energized. You know, let's look at what happens to Mary after this. Okay, we can actually follow her story a little bit. You know, after this, later on, Mary's brother, Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, dies, right? And then, you know, they're friends of Jesus, everyone. And so Jesus, you know, comes to Bethany, where they live, which is right outside Jerusalem. And by the time he arrives, Lazarus is dead. But Jesus raised Lazarus to life, right? And then we see Mary doing something utterly incredible. She anoints the feet of Jesus with the most expensive perfume. And as she did that, people around her, around Jesus, complained. That's such a waste of money to use such expensive perfume on his feet. And Jesus responded to that by saying, don't bother her. She's preparing for my burial. Don't bother her. She's preparing for my burial. You know, if you think about it, she's the only person who understood that Jesus was actually going to die. That he was going to die for our sins. That he's going to be crucified. And she did this right before he entered into Jerusalem, where he got arrested and died. A woman in the Bible, in a patriarchal society, it is a woman. Only one person understood what was really going to happen to Jesus when he entered Jerusalem. And Jesus been saying it, but everybody else, you know, they just kind of heard him in their own grid and really didn't get what Jesus was really about. The only person who got it was Mary. And that's why she poured the most expensive perfume on Jesus. And Jesus acknowledged that she's doing it for my burial. You know, when you sit at the feet of Jesus, when you begin to experience his love for you, when you begin to be charged about the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, when you begin to listen to that still, quiet voice of God in your life. When your inner life is in order, your outer life has no limit. You know, she gave it all. She gave everything that she had. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to instruct Martha, saying, one thing is needed. And when you have that one thing, when your inner life is ordered, your outer life, your life will produce one of service, one that reduces anxiety in your life. It's not about anxiety. It's not about getting things done. But it's about working out that which the Spirit of God has put inside your heart. It's not about being mad at God and saying, you know, God, you know, step up. It's about loving others, appreciating, and being loved by God, and actually finding peace instead of anxiety in our life. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, so many of us are busy. So many of us are stressed, anxious. So many of us are irritable. We get annoyed, and sometimes we snap in anger. And sometimes we even question you. All right, do you really care? Do you really care? Lord, speak to us by your Spirit. As you spoke to Martha, 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 you're speaking to us. Kevin, Kevin. Grace, Grace. You're speaking to each and every one of us. Church, just imagine God saying your name twice with love. And imagine, church, Jesus saying, one thing is important. Only one thing is important. You get that right. Your inner life right, your outer life will line up, will experience peace, will experience love. So Lord, help us to find that one thing which is needed. Give us wisdom, Lord, because we're still busy, and sometimes that one thing sounds like another thing that we have to add into our life. But Lord, will you give us the wisdom and strength to know how to incorporate that one thing as the heart of our lives? The practice of just sitting and listening and being with you and experience your love and grace. Not only for salvation as we have, but to actually live that way. To live that way. Help us to live out of inner strength that we have in you. And help us to be people who give it all. Give it all for you. Serve wholeheartedly for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.